Say yay and amen to that.
Yes, sir.
Very thankful for what we've heard. Very thankful for the invitation to be here. My original plans were to be sitting out there with you during this meeting. But Brother David called, I guess it was on Wednesday, and asked that I'd be able to stand before you and speak a couple times. And I'm grateful for that invitation and for the confidence that Elder Guthrie has in me. And I'm thankful for the confidence that I have in him and these other fellow laborers in the Lord. Again, very thankful to the Lord for what we've heard about our precious Savior, the Word that was made flesh, and his finished work at Calvary. You know, there are some people that do not believe that the Son of God was came into existence until about 2,000 years ago, until his birth. But we've heard this morning that he is the eternal, everlasting Son of God. And we've met here to worship him in spirit and in truth. And, you know, over here in Hebrews chapter 4, we read a little bit about this word and how powerful he is. And as we read in Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 12. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We've heard that this word was made flesh and they beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, is full of truth. And we realize that we have a dear friend of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we must never lose sight of what we've heard here this morning.
Yeah.
That he is God. And even the Lord Jesus had to remind his disciples.
Yeah.
He says, don't fear man that could just kill the body. He says, I'll tell you who to fear.
Yeah.
Fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hellfire. He is God manifested in the flesh. He was here 2,000 years ago, and he's there on the right hand of the majesty on high, making intercession for his people.
Amen.
And we've come here to worship him in spirit and in truth. We've come here to the household of faith, the church of the living God. And as you sit there in the pews, God knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking about.
Right.
He knows where you've been, what you have done.
Yeah.
He knows what you've been thinking.
Yeah.
So, a lot of times, spouses don't know what each other's thinking, but the Lord does. Children oftentimes do not know what mom and dad are thinking, but the Lord does. And parents do not know what the children are thinking, but the Lord does. The Word of God is quick. Now, wait a second. Let me just make sure everybody's on the same page when we say, read here the Word of God. We're not talking about the Old New Testament, are we?
No.
Okay. This is the Word of God we've heard about.
Right.
This is the living Word. The Word of God is quick. That means alive.
Yeah.
This is printed with, on, you know, pages of paper and ink. It's the will and testimony of God Almighty, it's been given unto us, a book that reveals Him, but this is speaking about the living Word, the Word that is quick,
Amen.
The Word that is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword,
yes.
piercing even to the dividing, asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. I've heard this divided differently, but I'll give you my take on it. I believe he's talking about death here. This is what happens at death. And we find a two-edged sword. Sword is often synonymous with death. Deliver us from the power of sword, the power of death. Is there something that can separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? He mentions the sword. Dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. What happens at death? The soul and spirit is divided and is separated from the joints and marrow, the body. Now in the church and kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's a very joyous place to be and a wonderful place to belong, but it also can be a dangerous place. Yeah. You say dangerous? Dangerous? There was a man and woman who sold a parcel of land. They told a little white lie. And they died.
Yeah.
Sword killed both of them. Peter said, you're not lied to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And they died. Some were not taking the bread and the wine properly. Some were sick. Others died. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. Dividing even the son of the soul and spirit of it, and of the joints and marrow, there is a separation that takes place. The spirit can live without the body, but the body does not live without the spirit.
Right.
The body without the spirit is dead.
Yeah.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is a man that no doubt had a very prosperous life, and he had saved up for retirement, and he had his barn full. And he thought one day, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down those. I'm going to build me some bigger ones. He didn't even lay the first foundation stone, did he? He didn't even was able to dig the footer. He just thought about it. Sometimes people can lose their life just for thinking when it comes to the Word of God. And so that's why we need to be thinking properly and soberly as we live out our days here below. And so as we've met here this morning, the Lord knows our thoughts. He knows your motivations, your intentions. He knows your desires, your needs, your wants. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In the lives of God's children, many things take place. There's hills, there's valleys, there's mountaintop experiences. The wise man Solomon said, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. He said, the Lord has set one against the other, that man will find nothing after himself. Some say, I don't really believe that. How many of you visited your great-great-great-grandfather's grave? They're gone. How many of you visited all of your great-great-grandfathers and great-great-grandmothers. They're gone. A man would find nothing after himself. But they loved the Lord Jesus Christ and were blessed to have the church and kingdom. They were trusting in one that would remember them. Little Martha, and I like Martha. You know, a lot of times she receives a bad rap, so to speak, because we find an account where she was busy with the cooking and all the other stuff, and sort of the natural things, and the Lord rebuked her. He said, Martha, he said, as Mary was at the feet of the Lord, he says that Mary has chosen the good part. And a lot of times you just sort of leave that there. But when you come to the death of her brother, it wasn't Mary, it was Martha that ran out to the Lord. She said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You've done so many things, other miracles, we've heard things, and we know you loved my brother, but if he would have been here, he would not have died. And the Lord tells her, he says, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That's more than Mary said.
Yeah.
I think she'd been at the feet of Jesus. I think she listened to his rebuke. Now, sometimes people will receive rebuke and they won't listen.
Yeah.
But I believe she listened. She says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Wonderful doctrinal statement right there.
Amen.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord. And here's one of the greatest statements concerning the Son of God recorded in God's written word. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then she left. Sometimes things will take place in people's lives and they just don't understand it. Here was Martha and Mary. No doubt they had fed the Lord. The Lord had probably spent some nights there because he didn't have a home of his own. Most everything the Lord had was borrowed.
Yes.
You know, he borrowed his transportation. When he had a donkey, he borrowed a tomb. He didn't have possessions of this earth because, as we've heard, this earth was not his home. And so she says, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And again, there's things in people's lives that, you know, why didn't the Lord get here in time? Well, I've got news for you this morning. The Lord is never late and he's never early. He's right on time. The Lord wasn't too busy that he forgot about life. As a matter of fact, he intentionally stayed away. He knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. But with little Martha, she was reconciled in her mind that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. And so when things take place in our lives so that we may not understand, we grasp upon that simple hope, that simple understanding, that knowledge that we have, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, that came into the world, that bled and died and rose again, and he's there in heaven for us as our high priest, and we live for him, come what may. But she had a glorious experience after that and seeing the resurrection of her own brother who had been dead for 4 days. And so the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He knows our thoughts.
Yeah.
He knows the intents of our hearts.
Yeah.
And that's with whom we have to do.
Yeah.
And so, as we live our lives here, and realize that this is the one that we serve, it humbles us. At least it should humble us. To know that there is one who is always watching and always knows and sees. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church over here in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. And God hath raised, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Because the Lord arose, we shall rise also. I believe I'm speaking to people here this morning that believe in the resurrection of the body.
Yeah.
The very substance that your spirit and soul lives in. Man is made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And we have this promise and knowledge that one day that if the Lord doesn't come back and soon, that we'll all die. There'll be a funeral service. And you'll be buried according to a Christian a burial. Heathens burn their dead, but the Christian buries their dead. I might have made this point before, but it needs to be hammered time and time again, and you need to tell your loved ones and those that, because everyone's looking at, well, let's do it the cheapest way. Sometimes in even building something, you don't want to do it the cheapest. Or hiring somebody. You don't want to always look at the cheapest. Usually you say you get what you pay for. The proper way for you to bury your dead is the same way that Abraham put away Sarah. The same way that Jacob was put away and Isaac was put away. Abraham was put away. They were all buried. Joseph said, when we go out of this city, come out of Egypt, you carry my bones with you, and you bury me in the promised land. You bury me there. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried. Lazarus was buried or put in this cave. They had great respect for the body. And why is it that they had great respect for the body? Because they understood and they believed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven and he shed his precious blood and he purchased not only your soul and your spirit, but your body as well. Purchased a complete individual. And this body shall be raised from the dead. I was growing up, about the size of some of these little ones here. One of my big excitements I had was that I could take the trash out. We had a big 55-gallon barrel, and we burn the trash. Burn the trash. We like that. You'll get to burn the trash. And when it was about that size, we would occasionally attend a funeral. Bury the dead. And we're living in a day and age that they're burying the trash and they're burning the dead. things are just opposite. But I trust that we'll remain firm and steadfast. And there might be someone here that's maybe out of ignorance. I don't know. Because God's children do a lot of things just because of ignorance. Now, I'm ignorant about many things. But the Apostle Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that God is going to raise the dead. And we don't want to be ignorant about that very fact. As we continue reading, he says, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Your bodies are the members of Christ. And here you are on Saturday morning, could be elsewhere, but because the Spirit of Christ dwells within you, the hope of glory, and you realize that your bodies are the Spirit, or members of Christ, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 6 reads, and this was a sin very prevalent in the day of the Apostle Paul, and it is a sin that is very prevalent in this day and age. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I'm amazed at Hollywood, you know, which promotes this sin, because they're just involved in it every day and every week themselves. And I'm amazed that Hollywood they'll say, don't smoke, or buckle up the seatbelt. But here, this great sin here, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. This thing really hurts and affects the body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I remember when I was about the age of some of these young folks here, in my teenage years, and there was a faithful servant of God. His name was Elder Rice Bolander. He is in his 80s. And I remember this very day, because of that sermon, it delivered me here in time. He says, God will give you one chance. A lot of times in things that you get involved in or get tempted with out here in this world, he says, God will give you one chance. He'll give you an open door. And then on that one door that's open, he said, you better take it. And you better flee. You better flee like Joseph fled. He even had to leave his coat there. Had to get out of there. Had to flee. God will give you one opportunity to get out of that situation, and you better take that opportunity. The Lord, in his Sermon on the Mount, he said that lust after a woman hath committed adultery already in his heart. The Lord magnified the law. He brought it home to the heart, to the spirit, to the mind, not just to the actual doing, but the heart and the mind. He that looketh upon a woman, thinketh upon her, and lusteth after her in his heart, hath committed adultery. And then the two verses right after that, he says, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. And in his hand. And oftentimes, especially in the workplace, men and women work together. Things begin with the eye, a look, a longer look. And then it'll proceed to the brushing of a hand or a touch. The Lord says, cut it off. It's better to cut that thing off, pluck that thing. Go, find another job if you have to. Why should the whole body be cast into hellfire? So he says, you're not your own. And I guess that's what I'd like to bring home to you. You understand that the Son of God, who is rich, so rich in heaven, that he became poor that we might be rich. He came down from heaven and came and went into the lowest parts of the earth, into the womb of the Virgin. And he grew, and then the time came for him to save us from our sins, and he did it.
Yes.
And it wasn't an easy task. It was a task in which only God could perform. He had to be made sin, and his righteousness had to be charged to us. He had to be bruised. He was mocked. He was forsaken of his own Father. But he bore it in his own body on the tree of the cross. And he saved us from our sins. Saved us from this evil present world. Saved us from eternal everlasting hell. Saved us from the lake of fire. Saved us from the curse and delivered us from the curse of the law. Jesus has done all that for us, and he paid the precious price for your body, which belongs to him. And it's not to be used out here in this world in a fashion that is not fitting to the Christian. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. I know there's a, when it was very unusual to see a tattoo on somebody. You just see one on a sailor. Now, so there, Brother Jeff talked about tattoos. Well, listen, I've got some good friends that have tattoos. Some of my dearest friends, the people with tattoos. I baptized a man. Had a tattoo. I remember at the at lunch one time, we was having lunch there at Friendship Church, and he just recently joined the church, had short sleeves on, and there was his tattoo, and there's a sister that's older than generation before me, and she's looking at that. And the brother says, yeah, he says, that's one of the dumbest things I ever did in my life. One of the dumbest things that I did. I said, well, what does the Bible have to say about tattoos? Well, let me ask you this. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price.
Yeah.
Our bodies are not our own. Right. And if you borrowed, let's say, somebody's car that was not your own, and you went out and had a nice picture painted on the white door and had that person's name written on it, and then you return that car and say, hey, I brought your car back and I made it look a little bit better. You might not like that.
Yeah.
You may not like that. And so we're not our own to do as we please. I never really got it, because I read that we're looking for a time that we will be without spot and without wrinkle. That's what I like to see. I like to see something without spot and without wrinkle. You're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. And so, you leave here today. May God bless you to have a greater understanding of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you, who became poor that you might be rich in spiritual things and ultimately rich in eternal and everlasting glory, having that inheritance that's undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And by the way, Brother Ricky, I remember preaching a sermon in a church there in Tennessee, and I hammered on that John 14. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and so forth. And after the service, the brother, he came up to me and he said, Elder Patterson, I really enjoyed your sermon. And I'm thinking, all right, here it comes. Really enjoyed your sermon. But there's one thing, there's one thing I just, you know, really not, and I said, well, what's that? He says, well, those many mansions that the Lord Jesus Christ talking about, he said, that's not heaven, brother. He said, that's primitive Baptist churches. Well, I could see he was in a state that he could not be taught or didn't want to be, and so I just nodded my head. Later on that week, I went over for lunch. I had a sack lunch and went over to I was working close to a primitive Baptist meeting house. I thought, well, I'll just go over there in the church grounds and have my lunch over there. Well, I drive up and the sign is in disrepair. The roof is, tin on the roof is blown up. It looks like the building's about ready to fall down, and they downed about maybe 4 or 5 members. And I just thought to myself, I said, huh, this must be one of these mansions that fellow was talking about. Nah, those mansions are up above, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful it's just not a little log cabin, but it's a mansion in glory. But until that time comes, what do we want to do? How do we want to spend our time, our life? What do we want to do with these bodies that belong to the Lord? Yes, Martha. Martha said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God that should come into the world. You may live long enough to see a few of your grandchildren go wayward. Nothing can be more heartbreaking than a wayward child. A child that's been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it goes wayward. So, well, Brother Jeff, I just think they all would, you know, hit the straight and narrow. Well, you might want to ask Brother Isaac about that. He had 2 twin boys. One went wayward. I guess, but he'd say both of them went wayward until the Lord got a hold of one of them. A wayward child. But you just stay confident and your faith be true that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows all things.
Yeah.
And be like the faithful father that kept house at home with that obedient son. And that lost son finally came to himself, and the Lord blessed him, and he returned back home. And there was a grand reunion there in that family. Maybe the railing thief's mother was a godly woman. Her son was a thief, caught and captured, tried, being crucified next to 2 other men. Her heart's broken. Think she'll never ever see her son again. Maybe when she died and saw him in heaven. You know, you say, it's wonderful to have the truth and to know the truth. It's, I just want us to all understand a little bit closer, better, how near God really is to us, how He walks with us and sees us, and when things happen that we don't understand, He's still there. And our faith to be true. The just to live by faith. And when that time comes, when you yourself, instead of being like Martha, weeping and heart overfilled with sadness because the loss of a loved one, it'll be you breathing out your last breath. There'll be you there, either in a bed or couch at home, or in a nursing home, or in a hospital. And you look back upon your life, and you can see that God has been with you and has taken care of you.
Yes.
And you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. May we never lose our perspective. Many of God's children lose their perspective. There's so many distractions for young people. They can't even meditate, concentrate, and draw near to the Lord, and the Lord draw near to them. And so when you're out here in the world and you have to mix and mingle, remember the Sermon on the Mount. There's a message for you to read every day. It'll be Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is a recipe for life. And be mindful that you were bought with a price, the precious life of the Son of God, and that your body and your spirit does not belong to you.
Yeah.
It belongs to Him.
Amen.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His.
Amen.